Now, we come to part of the text where we have the Gospel of Matthew, 16, famous text, where our Lord establishes Peter as the rock. And I think it's going to be very helpful to realize, and this is where good historical work is a big help in making the text more understandable. But after you got it more understandable, you still have to commit yourself to it. Okay. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi. That is, he's been round the Sea of Tiberias. He goes northeast into a part of that world which is pagan. It's not, you know, Jewish. Why? I don't know why. What's Matthew? Why did he stop to tell us that? Well, the whole point is the priority of Peter. Maybe because he's implying this has universal implications. And anyway, he does. He says, you see, Caesarea Philippi, okay? Then he asks this question. He asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, isn't that interesting? The Son of Man? This is his almost instinctive title for himself. What does it mean? Well, they use mother and son. You remember, wasn't it, Saddam, this is the mother of all battles? Wasn't. So the Son of Man is the quintessential man. But it's also an allusion to a text in Daniel 7:13, where Daniel has a vision of someone like a Son of Man going to the Ancient of Days and receiving from his throne, you know, kingdoms and powers, and you see? Okay. Now that Son of Man there is a mysterious figure, but he also encapsulates Israel. Because later on, the phrase is the saints of the Most High God. So Jesus, who is the Word of God, uses this title because it means I am the most human of human beings. But also, I embody all of Israel, and to me will be given universal reign, power, authority. I will sit on the throne with the Ancient of Days. It means all those things. And so, you might remember, I don't know, when I was in high school, we had an experiment. We had a beaker, and there was water in the beaker and a chemical. So it was a solution. Then you took a string from another and dipped it into another beaker with another solution. And you took this string and you put it down in this one, and all the chemicals in there, the mineral, crystallized around the string. I don't know how many people did that experiment, but it's a good, you see, the word Son of Man is like a string dipped in another environment, put here, and it gathers around itself all those aspects of Jewish thinking and Jewish theology. That's why he calls himself the Son of Man. And so, we have then that they say, you know, John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Somehow they come back from the dead. That's what these people are thinking. So then he challenges them. He says to them, what about you? What do you say that I am, or who do you say that I am? Okay. And they answer, Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, in Romans, in chapter 11, we have that enlightenment of Paul that gives rise to that hymn. Here we have this enlightenment of Peter, which results in this faith gift. You are the Christ. Huh? And the text says, you see, you are the Christos, the Hios tou Theous ontos. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, who is the Christ? He's the successor to David, the anointed one. Christos comes from chrisma, which means anointing. You're the anointed one, huh? The Mashiach, which is the Hebrew word for the same thing, Masach. See? And so, so there's hope for a successor, anointed successor to David, who will make the country prosperous, peaceful, loyal to God, able to lead the world in how to live according to God's law. This anointed one, this Christos, this Mashiach. Peter says, you're that one. You see? And so, for instance, in 2 Samuel, when this is Nathan's word to David. When your days are over and you fall asleep, I shall appoint you heir, a son to succeed you, and so forth. You see? I will punish him when he's wrong, but I'll never take away my chesed from him. Okay? And then that was slightly changed in Chronicles, and there's no mention of punishment, because now it's not just any successor, it's the successor. And of that successor, there's never a question of punishment. Okay? Okay. And so we have these texts, child is born for us, a son is given to us. All this optimism, you see? I shall make them into one nation, you see? And so forth. You are the Christos, huh? The Son of the living God. And Jesus answers, you see? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, son of Jonathan, whatever, Simon Bar-Yona. In other words, God, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. That's serious. God the Father enlightens Peter above everybody else so that he can say with certitude and clarity, you are the Messiah and you are the Son of the living God. Imagine the leap of spirit to be able to say that. And that's why Jesus says right away, blessed are you. This is a real blessing. Asherei, huh? Because flesh and blood, that is human resources, did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. My Father revealed it to you. The foundation, therefore, is Peter, the recipient of revelation. And you see, this blessedness is the blessedness of those who receive revelation. Let me give you, for example, a text in Matthew 13, where Jesus said, and you remember this, or you will recognize it, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, and the ears that hear what you hear. In other words, it's the same, man, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The beatitude of receiving revelation. Do you know that if we're faithful to prayer, the Lord will reveal himself to us so that we really know him? That's a blessedness, you see. God, therefore, has revealed my Father in heaven, you see, has revealed this to you, this eschatological secret, you see. And right away, he says, and I say to you that you are Petros. Petros, you see, or Kepha in Aramaic, that's not a name. It means rock. From now on, you're rock. You see? And upon this rock, and you see in Greek, you're Petros, because that's his name from now on. It's a masculine name. But upon this Petra, on this rock, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church. First, we have to notice turning point. Peter gets a new name. Like Abram becomes Abraham, you see? So many others, they get new names. You see, Jacob becomes Israel. And so, in their part. Now comes the interesting part. And on this Petra, on this rock, I will build my church, yes, my temple. And it's an illusion. You see, in Jewish tradition, the rock at the base of the temple on Sion is at the center of the world. In other words, they looked upon the rock that upon which the temple is built as being the very center of the world. Another tradition, that was the rock that Abraham was going to use to sacrifice Isaac. In other words, and so now, there's a new regime, Peter. And you are the rock upon which I'm going to build my church, my temple. You are the rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, the other part of that text is that it's also the way to the underworld. And so, but that underworld will never come out because you are guarding that gate. The gates of hell will not come out, okay? And one of the commentators, Alice and Davies, two of them, say, perhaps then the informed reader should imagine the church at the center of the cosmos, sitting on top of the powers of evil. Quite a, you see, it's very serious what Jesus is saying there. And then, of course, there are successors, and they all are Kepha, whatever name they take. You know, John Paul, Paul, Benedict, but they're all this person. Think of it. Now you say, why? One of the reasons why is because you can argue with a man, you can't argue with a document. Peter, I think you're wrong. If you stick to it, I'll go along with you because Christ has given you that. Paul, Peter, you know, before these Jews came from Jerusalem, you ate with the Gentiles and you ate Gentile food. Now they come, you're collapsing. How come? Paul confronted him. He's Peter. He's the rock. But he's a human being. Do you see the wisdom? So somebody said, well, I don't like that encyclical. Well, first read it with faith and listen. But the person in whom we have this extraordinary faith, and that's why the Roman Catholic Church is the oldest human institution in the world. Nothing else has ever lasted 2,000 years. Wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And so, Peter, you are the new Petra, the new foundation stone, and you are the one who keeps the cap on Hades. And my church is built on you. And therefore, this is why at every Mass we pray for the Pope and the bishops who share some of his authority. Because now you say, that was an awful chance to take. We've had some lousy popes, you know. But Jesus in his wisdom and knowing himself as the Son of God, I can handle it. And so that's why we pray for the Pope. You see? And you have the keys of the kingdom. And that goes back, an allusion to those keys in the reading at the first, you see? You have all the authority. It probably means you have the authority to determine who can worship with the church and who can't. In other words, if you're in mortal sin, you can come, but you have to leave at communion time, at least in the Eastern Rite. Now, we don't understand that. We don't do it. But Peter has the right to say, you are not allowed to come to the full Eucharist with us because you're in sin. And yet, we want you to get over that. We want you to be part of us. But you see, that's what binding and loosing mean. I'll have to quit now.